Nerd Soul.
Late Ill Kid at one, y'all. So holding it down. Hey. Bring you that street, geek, and nerd. So, what is up, my people? Today, coming with another wonderful episode of On Screen. I'm joined to my right / diagonal front.
Diagonal front. I love it.
133 yards, Jason Reeves. What's up?
Howdy. How's it going?
Big shout out to Jason Reeves, 133 yard, publishing, comics, all that jazz.
Straight up.
Check them out. But we're here to talk about a show that you love.
It's controversial. My love for it is very controversial.
The Mandalorian, season one review, coming out of episode 8.
Fresh off of it.
How do you feel?
It does what it does.
Because you've been pretty spicy on Facebook about it.
I will say, The Mandalorian is not necessarily the show for me.
All right.
But I can see why y'all like
it. Oh, man. For me, I finished up episode 8. Really dug this season. Really liked what it added to Star Wars, the world as a whole. I'll have to go back and try. It's hard to read Aftermath. I couldn't even get through it, but I will try for like a fourth time. But I do want to see, because we're in this world of Aftermath time, where it's like after episode 6, and we got Kara, where she's part of the drop soldiers, and they're, you know, kind of cleaning up the remnants of the Empire and stuff.
This is a comic?
Aftermath is a novel.
Okay.
A series of novels. I believe it's 2? Is it 2 or 3? Y'all let me know. But anyway, it really gives me a good chance to see just another side of Star Wars besides the main, kind of like the main A story of what the Skywalkers are doing.
Right.
And I've talked about this on Jedi Alliance and Jedi Council before. I would have loved to see something based in the Outer Rim around the kind of like the crime families, like the Hutts or the Black Sun or anything like that. And I think that this is kind of a step in that direction. You get to see some of the scum and villainy. You get to see how people talk around the galaxy outside of just like Coruscant or something. Right. Even like episode 6 in Prisoners, when they're just talking about like, whether it's kind of like Jar Jar, or not Jar Jar Binks's...
the Gungans.
The Gungans. Yeah. Or like making little jokes, like seeing how people see the rest of the galaxy.
How would a Gungan face fit in that helmet?
Yeah, he was like... Seeing the galaxy through their eyes.
Right.
Not being the clean rebellion heroes. You know what I'm saying? Straight off, Creed holds it down. My girl Kara holds it down.
She was dope.
Big Brother Almighty, even though he was only in a little bit of it, held it down.
Super dope. I'd have liked to see him use that saber though.
Yeah, I would have liked to see that too, but I know they had to save it for the end.
Right.
But for me, I was very positive on it, enjoyed it, and I'm excited for season 2. So let's get down into the nitty gritty. You said it didn't work for you.
What didn't work? Mando didn't work for me, man. I think every piece of window dressing around Mando was either fine to I liked it.
Okay.
But Mando is just the most emotional bounty hunter I've ever seen in my life, and it just. I get his backstory. He was an orphan, so that's what makes him, you know, feel close to Baby Yoda. Except there's a couple of things. In my mind, I'm like, so I try to put myself in the character's shoes.
Okay.
I'm Mando. All
right.
I was orphaned at a young age. I grew up with these, you know, fanatics, and I wear a helmet all the time, so my face stinks.
You take it off once a day to take your bath, man. Still get a shower.
I don't think.
You just, when you're outside, it's just like wearing regular clothes.
I don't think Mandalorians bathe.
Imagine if you just wear like a Scully all day and then you take a bath at night.
That's not a Scully. That's covering your whole face. There's no air hitting your face.
Well, then that means your face is mad clean. It's like, you don't got to worry about a dirty face.
Man, it's like wearing a cast. That's what it's like. That's what I imagine. And she told him, did you take your helmet off? at that on that one episode, and he was like, no, because if you take your helmet off, that's against the rules. That's not the way. And yeah. he's like, no, I never take my helmet off. So who says well, they
never,
take it off?
You never take it off around people.
But who says that? Where is it in that narrative that he takes it off to take a bath?
Well, when the young lady at the little
Yeah, that was the first time he took it off since he was a kid.
No, he said, she said, when's the last time you took it off? He said, yesterday, you know, of course, to wash up, you know what I'm saying? So he takes it off, okay. Just can't nobody
missed,
be around him.
I must have missed that part.
You know, can't nobody be around
him. I heard the exchange where he was like, I haven't taken it off since they took me in as a child. And I was like, you stink, bro.
funky style.
Funky ass, man, Lord. So, so for me, if I'm a bounty hunter, and people keep saying, everywhere he goes, it's like, your legend precedes you, bounty hunter. You're the greatest. And then he, like, you know, trips over a lobster or a banana peel or something. I'm like, how's
he
the greatest?
When did he trip over a banana peel?
Okay, I'm exaggerating. But in episode two, when he comes up against the Jawas, the short the Jawas, dudes are the Jawas, right?
I love the Jawas because it's
he's climbing up the thing and they're like, it's like Home Alone. Like they're like, and he's like falling like, oh no.
Well, no, because it shows how, no matter how powerful he is, when you got like 50 little powerful. Dudes throwing pots and pans at you, you know what I'm saying?
You have a flamethrower in your hand. Like, your gauntlet is a flamethrower.
Imagine the Jawas are like a whole bunch of dudes in New Jersey that be stealing cars. Gremlins. All right? They're like gremlins. All right? And they be stealing stuff. And it was just throwing pots and pans. I love that scene. Because it shows, because we've never seen what Jawas are really like.
I think it's funny.
It
doesn't help Mando's legend, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And they keep purporting to me that Mando is this great bounty hunter. But
well, see, I like that.
What I'm saying is I don't see it, though. I think, for me, it's unnecessary to have the legend and the way and these credos. That make him seem like he's harder than what he is. In my opinion, he could just be a regular bounty hunter. Like, when I before we sort of delved into Mandalorian lore, and Boba Fett was just this bumbling moron who falls in the Sarlacc pits, that's okay to me. Like, it's to make a show about that guy. But don't tell me he's the greatest of all time if he's like slipping.
Well,
on.
If
Jawas are throwing marbles and he's like, whoa,
that is not what happened.
Also, he's emotional, right? He's super emotional.
Now, hold on. With the Jawas, the thing I like about it is it shows that your legend doesn't always include the day to day.
Right.
On a macro scale, he kills it. But yes, from time to time he has problems. You got a whole bunch of little dudes running around throwing pots at you. It's gonna be tough. You know what I'm saying? They was throwing pots from the windows and poking them with little sticks. It ain't gonna be easy. Now, with that said, do I think that Cad Bane would have had that issue? No. But Cad Bane probably would have killed every one of them Jawas.
Blew that whole thing up. He flew into the air with a rocket launcher. Bam!
You're like,
no more. No more Jawa.
He had his hat and be like,
right.
But you say he's emotional.
Pimp of the universe, huh?
Which I think he's emotional. Should have a code.
Code, but if you're a bounty, look, man, if you work at the grocery store, then yes, you can have a heart of gold. If you were a teacher, then you should have a heart and love for your students. If you're a bounty hunter whose money and livelihood, like you eat depending on who you kill or catch, that's a waste of time there.
So what you're saying is that there ain't no love in the heart of the city.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city. Not. Don't get me wrong. I grew up on, Assassin with a Heart of Gold story. So I get it.
Yeah.
But to me, the Heart of Gold part comes in when that particular idea earns it, right? Okay. So the idea of Baby Yoda, just because he's cute, you don't risk your entire livelihood on it. You don't, listen, you don't, he doesn't know anything about this thing. He doesn't know if it's good or evil.
True.
He only thing he knows is that it's a high value package. And it's 50 years old. That's the only thing he knows about it. So he finds it. He sees it's a baby. Okay, you say, well, the thing is an orphan, and it kind of makes him feel a ways inside, so he stays with it. But he doesn't know that that thing is an orphan. That thing might be a grown-ass man. It's 50 years old. Right. It might not even be a kid.
Baby Yoda is a baby. All right.
Baby Yoda looks like a baby and it coos, but that could be a manipulation if Baby Yoda is a Sith, which is my theory. I think Baby Yoda is a Sith.
Baby Yoda is too cute to be a Sith.
Baby Yoda murders things. In that last episode, he murdered that flamethrower trooper. He consciously murdered him.
He didn't murder
in cold
him.
Blood.
He protected himself. That dude was going to crispy fry him. He had
he
to
was
protect
trying
himself.
To kill him. Right. He protected so he stood himself up and he said, by straight up murder. He could have just pushed him.
But he was just going to come back.
Nah.
He had to stop the threat.
He force choked my girl. He force choked her. Because they was arm wrestling. You're 50 years old. You know, you never seen an arm wrestling match.
Yo, maybe they were arm wrestle in Yoda's planet.
But he wasn't never on his planet.
How you know?
He was in that bubble on what was that
when
planet?
When we found him, he was
exactly.
in the bubble.
Exactly, which means he's had other adventures and experiences. That thing is lying. Don't believe Baby Yoda. He is lying to y'all.
Right.
He's a Sith.
Direction, I'm going to have to give it to Rick Famuyiwa. Rick, I've been a fan of his direction style for a minute. For me, my favorite episode, besides the first episode, is Prisoner.
Okay.
You have problems with Prisoner.
I have problems with the direction.
Prisoner.
I wasn't feeling the sets and the characters, though. They kind of took me out. Like, some of the makeup and stuff, and some of the practical effect work was just like...
It won't damn for you?
I kept getting taken out of it. Like when my man slams the robot, I was like,
it was just a trash can.
Clearly a trash can. Like, it's clearly somebody's trash can.
He just slammed it on the ground.
Right. And then he's like, ah. I was like, come on, Clancy, you know that wasn't heavy. Like I like for
I
that
like
trash
Bill
can.
Bill Burr with the extra gun and stuff and you know.
That was so cheese. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of the cheese is good. Again, the
what
child was
what
hilarious.
About the dude from Too Fast, Too Furious. You ain't like him?
Who's that?
The dude that set up the job.
Oh, the
dirty cop, the
long dude,
too fast
long hair dude
with that grizzly jerry curl.
Your boy that always play like a snorted out trucker.
I knew he was dirty when I saw him. I was like, He always dirty.
He's always that guy. Oh yeah, man, dude. Remember back in the day? Back in the day, like
what we used to do. Right. We used to do all this evil stuff.
Oh well, if it isn't Toretto, like that's that dude. He always play that dude.
Yo, big shouts. All right, you said on that episode when the X-Wing showed up and just shot down the place.
Oh yo,
that was hilarious.
Yo, the yo,
because you made a point on that.
So my thing is. It's a beacon. It alerts the Republic to trouble or whatever. It's essentially a 911 cell phone.
It's one of those things like I fall and can't get up.
Right. It's even worse if it's there. So the beacon goes off and they're like, if the beacon goes off, they're gonna show up and you know deal with us or whatever.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what I think they're alluding to. But when they show up. The beacon goes off at the end, and they just kill whatever's on the beacon.
Because they knew what happened, son.
No.
They scoped the scene.
They're essentially police officers. You can't just go in and start shooting, even though police actually do that. But
yeah, but look, they knew what was up. They knew what was up. They saw the dead guy, so they knew whoever
they saw the dead guy? How? From space?
They probably went to the prison. And then they
no,
did it.
No!
Look, somebody told them. All right?
These dudes came straight from the prison. It's like if you called 911 and you was like, there's an emergency at my crib, and they came to your crib and parked outside and started shooting. You die and everybody else died.
All right, look. Skip that part. All right, the lava river at the end.
Oh, Lord.
All right, now. I'd assume it was pretty hot.
Now, you had issues with the lava river.
I had issues with the lava river.
You brought the lava river to my door.
This is, as I like to call it, the Cayenne River.
This
is a show that I enjoyed, but I'm trying to imagine how hot it must be on a river of lava. And I don't think I saw a bead of sweat.
Nope. I mean, my girl got her arms out.
Sweating
under
these lights right here.
My girl got her arms all out. She chilling. They got, they all wearing hot armor.
Gina Carano just chilling.
Right. She like, they got on hot armor. Carl Weathers has got on all these robes. And he like, you know, I know you got melanin, bro, but it's hot in there.
Yeah. But then we were like, maybe it's cool lava.
I thought it was tepid lava, cayenne pepper.
All right, now.
And my wife makes a great point. She goes, yeah, I know they're not in the lava. They're in this cast iron boat or whatever. But what about the ambient heat?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a good.
But see, that tunnel had an open, so they got a breeze.
It was a breezeway. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So it's getting rid of that ambient heat. You know what I'm saying? Even though they're on a dusty planet with no breeze.
No breeze, man. No breeze. There's still easterly winds in the planet.
I'm gonna say this. We let it go.
Because we like the show.
Because we like the show. But then the robot gets into the water. Gets into the lava.
Yo, it was like Terminator 2.
Yeah, but we had agreed that it wasn't that hot.
But that's why he was able to walk that long, because it wasn't that hot.
He walked like four steps.
He was like. And then he was like, boo-boo.
What was his reason for getting in the water?
Because he had to blow up the people lava? at the end of the.
Oh, yeah.
So he had to blow them up so they could get away free.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was his way to protect Baby Yoda.
Suicide robot from the first episode.
Oh, yeah. Rest in peace to I Have Spoken.
Oh, man, I'm my favorite character.
Yeah, rest in peace, son. You know what I'm saying? He took an L, but I like him.
Merk Nick Nolte. Spoken was my favorite character in the show.
Yo,
I liked him better than Mando.
I thought we was going to see Ming-Na again for a second.
Yeah. So she just dead,
like,
huh?
Is she dead? Because when they had somebody walk up to her body at the end, I was like...
Was that...
Because, I mean, she did get shot in the gut. So, right. I mean, you can survive.
A shot in the gut, you know, depending on where it is.
Yeah.
And so that dude, like, was a rookie, so.
Yeah, the dude was a rookie. With his pleather jacket on.
I also want to say, every episode, Mando gets betrayed.
Yo, man.
Like,
but that shows
every episode.
That shows the kind of life you lead, son. It's hard out there for a bounty hunter.
But I'm saying, if you're a legend, you know when people betraying you, though.
Yeah, but that don't mean they ain't gonna betray you. You know what I'm saying? They still gonna betray you. They still gonna try you.
Every episode I'm watching, I'm like,
you was in trouble when you was little, but you still tried it though. You know what
I'm
saying?
I never got betrayed.
Oh, yeah.
I always knew when betrayal was coming because I'm a legend.
Because I'm a legend. Because I ain't gonna front. When I I was the bounty hunter. Uh-huh. When I get there. And all of a sudden, the deals start changing. First, I thought it was going to be a five-man job. Now it's a six-man job.
Right. Now
you know,
I
don't mess with Androids. Now you got an Android.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, we're using my ship. You ain't say I was going to... All this stuff changed. I'd be like, nah, I'm cool. Y'all on y'all own.
If I'm a bounty hunter and the money is on the line, I'm going to just kill everybody.
Yeah, just get rid of everybody.
It's just going to be some real... There's no no questions asked policy anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just... Save who I need to save. Everybody else got to die. Y'all ain't betraying me. Sorry.
Somebody got to die.
I was mad that Mando let those dudes live.
Yeah, I would have liked to see.
I thought that was some He-Man Skeletor type stuff.
Yeah, I can understand them dying, and I would have been cool with them dying.
Uh-huh.
Is this a little PB coming to the show?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. I like the Mandalorian. It was dope. It's one episode where there's a little baby just like me. And I'm glad he protected him because the baby demographic needs to be protected.
Cute demographic. You should like our show because we have a baby on it. And his shirt says the snuggle is real.
Yes, the snuggle is real. So it's like the baby demographic. Kicking with the babies every single day. Chilling. But all right, so first episode, Flames.
I liked the first episode.
Second episode, Flames.
That's my favorite episode.
Okay. Third episode, how you feeling?
Third is dumb. That's when he betrays everybody to get the baby, right?
Third episode is Dad, what third episode was when he went to the
He goes back to the town and then he talks to his people and they almost kill each other. And then, and they like, this is the way, don't kill each other. And they're like, okay, whatever. And then he goes to Werner Herzog, and he finds out that they're like experimenting on the baby or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is a smoke screen by the baby, I just want to point out.
A smoke screen by the baby.
Yeah, the baby tried to make
Sith
one.
Baby.
Right, the Sith baby. You know, he got mechanicians, man. He's a Sith. So then he's like, nah, I can't let him do this to the baby. So he goes in there, kills everybody, takes the baby. And then his people are like, we're going to help you. You know, Carl Weathers is like, I can't let you take the baby. That's not the way, or that's not a part of the guild rules or whatever.
You want to mess up the guild.
And so they try to kill him. And then his people who almost killed him earlier come in and save him for the love of this baby.
We got two babies in here.
What? He's not a baby. He's a big boy. But this is our episode where we must save the children because now you like our show. Because
you
we have young cute people in here.
Save the babies.
Yeah, so, look at the camera. Look at the camera. Show your cuteness to the camera. Look how cute he's sucking his fingers. So I thought
episode four
is the episode where
they go to the planet. They meet Kara.
That was decent.
Thank you.
That was directed by
That was a decent episode.
My girl.
Was it Deborah Chow on that one or
no?
Episode
four is Howard. Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah. Bryce Dallas Howard.
That was dope episode. That was decent. Like they had to fight the ATSC.
That was
dope.
And I love when they were like, "You didn't tell us." They had an AT.
He gets betrayed.
Betrayed once again.
Episode 5 is the Ming-Na episode, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that was pretty decent.
Yeah.
Also betrayal.
Uh-huh. Episode 6, you don't like, I like.
I wasn't
because you go six. From your basic episode where you're like, he's about to get, you know, he's about to get betrayed. He's about to screw him over.
Uh-huh.
Into sort of almost like a horror movie where he becomes kind of like this Michael Myers character.
I do like that part at the end where he's stalking them, but it kind of takes the air out of
it
when
air
he
out
doesn't
when
kill
alive.
Them. Yeah. Right.
But the X-Wings kill him, boy. like,
well, they don't die, right? Because the X-Wings never went to the actual spot of...
Oh, no, nah, they didn't. But they did blow up that little space station.
So they like... Either they kind of starve or something.
Real nice. He took Daredevil's hand off there. Took Daredevil's little baby hand off.
All right, good Amen. Job. I'm not gonna reprimand you on camera. So episode 7 is the first part of. It's 8 episodes, right?
Yeah.
So episode seven is the first part of when he goes back and they want him to help
Kara.
Right. They want him to help kill Werner Herzog.
Mm-hmm.
And he forms a team. Now, I like the idea of them being a team.
Because we kind of form full circle what's going on even with the android.
And I like everybody but him. So everybody but Mando is cool, so they make a cool team.
I like the shootout.
Right, the shootout was pretty cool.
I like seeing Death Troopers again.
Right, Death Troopers always.
I like the new TIE Fighter, the little fold down.
Oh, yeah.
He had the Cadillac, you know what I'm saying? Because the other ones got to stay straight up.
Right.
But then Joe says, woo, wiggy.
And Giancarlo is sublime in everything.
Yeah, he's dope.
Right.
Homie came out, he was like, look, I know who all y'all is. I don't want to have to kill y'all.
But I will.
But I'll kill y'all if I need to. What you want?
Right. just tell me what it is.
IG-11, I had to say the MVP of the finale.
Oh, yeah. MVP. I think he's a better steward of the baby than Mando. Because Mando, like, will walk into a tavern, and he'll go sit down and have a drink, and the baby would still be walking from the doorway.
Yes.
Like,
Mandalorian does need... He hasn't been a dad before. You know what I'm saying?
But you know what it is to want a dad, though.
True that.
You know, like,
and
that meme
says,
be who you needed when you was that age.
Yeah, and he was old enough to have had a dad. He knew he had a dad. You know what I'm saying? So he was kind of like
about 8 years.
You know, he was one of those he didn't want to get too attached, so he was like, I'm gonna just leave you in the ship. I'm gonna leave you in the
right.
ship.
Right. Like what was that the actress Sedaris played that? She's a comedic actress. She played the mechanic.
Yeah.
And she's like, he left a baby in the ship.
You left a baby in here?
I'm gonna charge him more for this. Like, yeah, he just leaves the baby anywhere he wants.
You can't just put a baby up in here.
Right. I mean, we shooting and we got our babies right next to us. Yeah, Mando would be like, no, baby, get out of here.
No, baby, just go out of here, baby.
Get out of here, baby.
I'm going to just leave you in a bed.
And then he's feeding the baby bone broth. I'm sure that thing wants to eat meat because every time it sits down somewhere, it's like eating frogs and rats and stuff. Yeah. But he's like, give it bone broth. I'm like, yo, Mando, you broke, bro.
Also, big shout out to the scene Taika Waititi did with the two stormtroopers sitting down.
Oh, man.
Just being two guys at a job.
Oh, man.
Like, they were just two guys at a job.
Two guys at a job.
That like were mean to
through,
a baby.
Going through some weird merger to have to take over. Yeah. Just like over it.
He was like, I heard he shot all the guys there. He's like, hey, man, that's how it is. He's like, hey.
I just don't want to get
And then they kept hitting the baby over and over. He was like, you just want to see the baby. I ain't showing the baby. Like,
baby's a Sith, so, you know, it didn't really hurt him.
Anyway, guys, thank you for chilling with us. We got the babies here, Baby Yoda, Mandalorian.
So what's the final assessment of Mandalorian?
Final assessment, scale of 5 stars, what would you give this season?
I give it 5.
All right, word. So you get so 5 or 5 stars?
I didn't. No. 1 to 5?
Yeah, 1 to 5.
2.5.
2.5?
Yeah.
I'm gonna stick it 3.5. 3.5 for me. I liked a lot of it. I love the ship. I love the Razor Crest.
The Razor Crest is cool.
There's so much I like about this, and there's so much, you know, room for it to grow into something doper.
Right.
So I'm digging that, and I'm ready. I'm ready for the hotness that season 2 brings.
I'll check out season 2. I don't hate the show. I just don't think that it's as great as everybody else makes it.
Yes, I will answer what you asked me offline. I believe wholeheartedly that Star Trek Discovery Season 1 is way better than Mandalorian Season 1. Mm. I know it's not equated, but since, you know, people always want to throw Star Trek and Star Wars together, but CBS is really swinging for the fences with that show. That show is crazy good, and they spent a lot of money on that show.
I need to check it out. They need to put it on Netflix so I can watch it.
Yeah, they need to stop playing with that.
Yeah.
But guys, before we get out of here, to my right, Jason Reeves, say what up.
133 Art, shout out to my team yet again. We are running a Kickstarter. It starts January 8th for Changa and the Jade Obelisk.
Word.
A new comic from MV Media, art directed by 133 Art. So, you know, come see us on Kickstarter, man. Get you some comics.
Word up, word up. And of course, NERDSOUL, big shout out to Panda, who is my biggest Patreon supporter right now. Big shout out to Thought Crimes, For All Nerds, Blurdish, Blurred Girl, all y'all guys out there doing y'all thing, Black Tribbles and all that good stuff.
Right.
Big shout out to y'all. Also, LA, what up? RVA, what is up? Big shout out to Kelly Lemon at Urban Hang Suite, who just did an episode with me. Awesome stuff on the channel. Check it out. There's tons of stuff going on. Holler us down in the comments. And from us to you, we're saying thanks for watching and... Peace.